Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name.
Now let me tell you something about false teachers. You think so many times that people fall prey to false teachers. And that, in a sense, can be true at times. But I think the dominant theme in Scripture is just the opposite. False teachers are God's judgment on people who don't want God, but in the name of religion, plan on getting everything their carnal heart desires. That's why a Joel Osteen is raised up. Those people who sit under him are not victims of him. He is the judgment of God upon them because they want exactly what he wants, and it's not God.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
The teachings of Mormonism, the teachings of the Jehovah Witnesses, the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church or Roman Catholicism is not Christian, plain and simple. And if you're a practicing homosexual, you cannot be a Christian. It's that simple. I don't say that, the Bible says it.
Deep in an underground bunker that looks like our mother's basement, in the middle of Lake Michigan, this is Empowered by Christ Radio.
All right. That is correct. That is what it is, and that is where we are at, in the middle of Lake Michigan in our underground bunker. Well, I am your host, Richard Haas, and thank you for joining us today. And there is a lot going on, a lot to talk about. We're going to have a pretty interesting show for you today, a lot of topics to discuss. I know we like to go with a general theme, synopsis of what is going on in the show, and today we're basically going to be, you could say, clearing the news desk. We're going to be taking the time and looking at some news events and worldview issues that are affecting Christians today. We're going to do a general, just a synopsis, going over a smothering, a potpourri, you could say, of topics, and looking at several different things. I like to do this once in a while. A lot of times we pick one certain topic to go on and go with that. Well, today we're going to take and discuss several different topics. Now, if you want to take and follow us on Facebook, you can do that at Empowered by Christ, EBC, on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. And you also can follow me at my page. You can send me a friend request, or just most likely you're going to have to tag the foul line on the Facebook icon there. If you go to Richard Haas, and you will be able to tag along on that and follow and get updates and comment. I usually leave most of my stuff on my page, personal page, wide open for comments and that, and I encourage interaction and discussion. So now also, if you want to, you can get a hold of us and call us and leave a message on any of the topics we discuss, any topics we've discussed in previous shows, any questions you may have regarding theology, doctrine, the Bible, worldview issues, you name it, you got a question on a verse, whatever. You can do so by calling us and leaving us a message. Leave your question by calling 414-369-2242. So, all right, now that we got all the contact information out of the way, been posting a lot on Facebook. Now, we got a lot of talk about here, and there's several directions we could go on, and I'm going to start out and address a topic I brought up on my Facebook page personally, and that was, as we know, with the suicide of Robin Williams at the age of 63, the actor Robin Williams. Now, if you're here in America and you're listening to this, you're familiar with, he was a comedic actor, and, a lot of movies and started his career in, on TV with the show in the late 70s, Mork and Mindy, and just recently had another sitcom show kind of to revitalize his career, and that kind of was canceled of late. But I'm going to be discussing here basically a post I put on Facebook, on my Facebook account, which actually really stirred up a hornet's nest, and it's dealing with the subject of Christians taking and idolizing these Hollywood stars. And a lot of what I saw was, you know, and I expect what I'm going to say, you know, from the world to say what I'm going to say here, but not from Christians. And what I mean is, I saw a lot of Christians state in his, you know, in their condolences to Robin Williams. And, you know, I say we should pray for the family. And I'm going to say this first of all and address this first of all in this matter. We should be praying for the family. And it's a tragic loss for the family. And, you know, as a death of any loved one is a loss. And my point is not to minimize that loss to the family. But I'm more focusing on the issue of what I saw in a lot of Facebook status updates from Christians. And, well, just a lot of the talk I heard when I was out and about from Christians. You know, or supposed Christians. And it has to deal with the R.I.P. Robin Williams, or Rest in Peace Robin Williams. And I kind of went on my Facebook page and kind of stated this. I'm going to read what I stated here. And this is back, and you can, like I said, check out what I said. And right now, there's well over 100 comments on this going forward. And this is back on August 12th I put this. I said, "The real tragedy of Robin Williams' death can be found in that he for surely is not resting in peace at the moment, as many Christians are stating. For years he has rejected, made fun of, or mixed with other religions the one thing that could have saved him and freed him from his drug abuse and depression, Christ. All of which are not the signs of the fruit of a regenerated man. We shall know them by the fruit," states Matthew 7:20. And I asked the question here at this point, was Robin Williams' fruit one of a God-fearing, God-honoring, regenerated person? It's an honest question. Was it? And if we look at this, things Robin Williams has said and in the past and written in books, you know, about God, about Jesus and that, we find out, you know, those things do not line up with Scripture. And, you know, there's controversy here. And I'm not trying to say that I know, you know, his heart. And last minute, maybe he repented. Maybe he's in heaven. My point was, of this post, merely was to point out that we should not be putting a rest in peace Robin Williams in our post as Christians when we do not know this man's state of his heart because of his unregenerated actions and his outright mixing of religions, hateful things he says about Christians, poking, mocking of God, and stuff he has said. Now, with that said, you can read the entire post, and I went on to say, you know, as Christians, we should be using the loss of this Hollywood actor as an example. No matter how much one can seem happy or have the appearance of worldly happiness, it's only an appearance, because without Christ, in the end, there can be no eternal rest or happiness. And like I stated before, I'm not saying and making a judgment that, okay, Robin Williams is or is not in heaven, because like I said, we don't know, did he repent? Did he, you know, ask Christ for forgiveness? Did he repent? That's the thing. We don't know that 100%, but we can judge by the fruit what we can see outwardly and see what the way he lived or not. Now, some people in the under the comments, of course, you know, might, hey, you know, well, he talked about Christ, you know, he mentioned Christ, you know, and some people say, hey, he was attending a church. Well, that's all good. I mean, but as we know, the devil, and I'm not saying Robin Williams is a devil, but the devil has talked about, you know, God, has used Scripture, you know, used, we want to say, Christianese, you know, and can disguise himself in that manner, you know, and those who are unsaved can do that as well. So, what I'm getting at is just because Robin Williams was in a church, or was attending in a church, or was, you know, said some things that were Christian-like in an interview, you know, does not mean he was a born-again believer. I don't know anyone that has stated that he outright had a statement or a, you know, profession of Christian faith. Now, that's not to say he didn't privately and we just don't know about it. I'm just going with what we know. With that said, you know, it's often said, you know, it's like saying, you know, just because you pull your car in, you know, the garage doesn't make, you know, you a mechanic. So just because somebody says they're a Christian or, you know, goes to a church or, you know, talks or is attending a, you know, church doesn't make them a Christian. So, you know, on this post, it went from a wide range, traveled the whole field. I mean, we had people on there, of course, going with the fallacious statement of, you know, you can't judge, you shouldn't judge, how dare you judge this person? Well, again, we're not judging in the sense of, hey, we know for sure that we're Robin Williams, it's because we don't. But we can make a judgment, and, you know, we can make a judgment of what things look like from what we see from the fruits of his life. And from what we see from the fruits of his life, you know, it's a sad state that he most probably is not in heaven. You know, that's not saying we know that 100% sure, because, again, we don't know if he repented before he died. So, we don't know that exactly. And, you know, this whole thing, it brings up this. We had a pretty interesting interaction going on here on the Facebook page under this post. Because what we found, or I found exactly, is people don't like this whole judging thing. There's a misnomer, a fallacy of way Christians should be and, you know, that we shouldn't judge. That we shouldn't, you know, judge others. Well, you know, in order to do that, you know, I had several people say, you know, well, you can't judge people that are, you know, on this and say, you know, you shouldn't judge. Well, the problem being is when you're telling somebody you shouldn't judge, are you not making a judgment yourself by saying you shouldn't judge? In order to say that you shouldn't judge, you yourself have to make the call to judge. So, really, it's a fallible statement. And now we know in the Word of God that we, as Christians, can make judgments. And we can judge others. In 2 Corinthians 11:19, we are told that we have to judge, that there has to be divisions and fractions among us that in order to know what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, if there has to be divisions to understand and factions among us, there has to be judgments made. And if we look at the context of that scripture, we understand that it's dealing with people, doctrine, that we have to know, you know, hey, this person is wrong, this person is right, we're judging. And if you want to really get down to the basic core of the Bible and a Great Commission, the Great Commission is a judgment of people. When we preach law, gospel, and cost, you know, the law, the gospel, and what it's going to cost us, guess what? We're making a judgment. We're judging other people. Because at the very core, at the very essential core of the gospel, there's a judgment. Because when you preach the judgment, when you preach the gospel, you are basically saying that to that person you're giving the gospel to, that you are making a judgment saying, guess what? You're not saved. You're unregenerated. And you need a savior. So these Christians that are saying, well, you shouldn't judge, are really then saying, well, I guess you shouldn't preach the gospel. Because in order to preach the gospel, when I say to you, hey, you know, Christ is the only way to salvation, and you go through the steps of the gospel, and you preach, you know, Christ was crucified on the cross, died, and was buried, and rose again, and, you know, that none of us are worthy, not one, that we're all, you know, wages of sin are death, and the only way through salvation is through Christ. Guess what? You're making a judgment, because you're saying that person is a sinner and is no good. So, like I said, in at the very core, quintessential meaning of the Bible, the gospel, Jesus Christ, you can't preach it if you can't judge. See, so with that said, you know, this topic ran the gamut. It ran from good to bad, good to bad. And, you know, some brought up, well, you know, there's bickering and this and that. You know, well, here's the deal. A lot of Christians, I agree, there can be unworthy bickering in an argument, just like, or, you know, a discussion on a page. And when I say argument, I don't mean yelling at each other. An argument is just a debate. And you have to have a debate, a discussion. An argument means a case to be made. And if you look at it from a logical point, and laws of logic, its argument is just a simple, here's my argument, here's my statement, is another way of saying it, that we need to discuss these things. And it's not bad to discuss these things. And, you know, several people on my page brought up the fact that, oh, well, there's bickering, you know, between, it makes Christians look bad. No, what makes Christians look bad is misrepresenting the gospel and tying things of the world into Christianity that shouldn't be there, like saying rest in peace, Robin Williams, when we don't know. And that's my point. We don't know. We shouldn't be tying that in because we don't know. There was not ever a clear statement of faith from him or a profession of being a Christian. And so we don't know. What makes, you know, Christians look bad is not the fact that we're having this discussion, like I'm having on my Facebook account page about this. Silence and not discussing and having an intellectual conversation about things like this makes Christians look bad. It makes us look stupid and dumb and meek and unintelligent to the world. The fact that we can't discuss these things and are not able to delineate and talk about such topics in a meaningful, civil way. And I will agree with those who were saying, you know, what they were saying about, you know, bickering and that. Some of the comments on the page about the judging and that stuff, just people are just, you know, type out of emotion. They don't think. They don't want to think a lot of times. They just want to say what they want to say and don't want to hear what anybody else has to say, so it becomes a one-way conversation. That's a problem, and usually I end up leading people like that and getting rid of them, because we don't need that type of, and I would say, bickering on a page while you're having a discussion. And, you know, that brings up, you know, Facebook with the whole Robin Williams thing, and we do a lot of our apologetics at Empowered by Christ through Twitter, through Facebook, interaction, debates on there, you know, posting on Facebook, social media aspects, Google and that. We run an internet apologetics ministry. You know, our website, empoweredbychrist.org, is on the internet, obviously. Our articles are out there for everybody to read. This radio show is on the internet. And we do a lot of our discussions and stuff on our Facebook page. So, I mean, it's a different type of an apologetics, if you want to say. It's not that we don't use our apologetics, me, Charlie, Joe, all of us here, in our normal day-to-day conversations with people and talking to people, but it's different doing a social media interaction with people versus if you were going to talk to somebody one-on-one. Let's say this conversation I was having here, like I posted on my Facebook page, was more of a one-on-one in person with these people versus just on the internet. It's often, like I said, you know, you lose some of the humanity, some of the applied, you know, the emotion that you can tell. You know, you can't see what the person's facial expression is, hear their voice, all you see is the letters. Type does not give emotion does not support emotion. So you kind of lose some of that in face, in transit, and between typing and stuff. And that's where some, I think, for frustration comes. So we always have to give room for, okay, what is this person? I mean, what's the context? What's the flavor of that person's attitude? I mean, sometimes you can outright tell. Because, a course, you always get, and many listeners who are Reformed get this a lot. You get your occasional person that hates Reformed theology. That goes through, and yes, we had those on this stream, that, right away had to go into, well, you're just promoting Calvinism. You're promoting, your cult of hyper-Calvinism. Well, last time I checked, I wasn't a hyper-Calvinist. and, since hyper-Calvinists do not preach the gospel and do not go out and witness, and they just kind of hold to a predetermined fatalistic look of things, well, that's not... Last time I checked, I was not doing that. So it just shows a lack of understanding of what Reformed theology teaches in a lot of the aspects of, interacting with people. And again, try to show grace in these discussions. And like I stated with this whole Robin Williams thing, there was a lot of good points brought up in the topic, and a lot of points that needed to be addressed. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, that assume we're bickering. Well, somebody says something and it's wrong, either by inattention, ignorance, or just plain out wrong, because a person wants to believe that to be that, it needs to be addressed. We can't just blindly let that go. You have to address those things. It's just like if you were going to address those things in person in a conversation. So we need to address those things as they come up, as someone comments. And those things need to be addressed with another comment. And that's how you have a discussion. It's not bickering. It's addressing points that are being brought up. And I've often wondered, in today's world, in Christianity, in today's Christian in general, if they could be transported back to, any past previous time in Christian history. Let's just put it that way. You pick your time. And where the intellect was higher, and I'm not saying people are stupid, so don't get me wrong. We'll see a bunch of emails about that. I'm just saying where the intellect was more, you didn't have Facebook media. You didn't have this 140 character, that's all I can say on Twitter kind of thing, where people, they sat down, they wrote a letter, and they might disagree with somebody, and they wrote a 20-page letter in their disagreement, citing why, scripture, and the whole thing, have a whole conversation. Or, they would talk for hours and hours and hours of, debating these points. Would these people say that those people were bickering? Spurgeon bickering when he would have conversations with people? Was Calvin bickering when he had conversations with people? No. He was having conversations. He was having dialogue with people. was Whitfield having, bickering when he was, having conversations and debating people? No. So if we look at that, we have to remember, okay, just because we're on Facebook and a social media platform and technology, it's gotten where it's gotten, and that's where we're at now, doesn't mean just because we're having these debates, it's bickering. It's having discussions. Just like you would have a discussion in your house, just like in the past people have discussions. Church fathers debated this, there's our councils, and I'm saying this is equal to a council because it's not. All I'm saying is giving an example. It might be a poor example of that, but all these debates and areas of conversations within Christianity on Facebook and social media has brought that together where it's a lot easier to do those things. Well, it needs to be done, and points need to be addressed. It's not bickering. So I just wanted to bring that up and, touch base on the Robin Williams. So like I said, in short, we're not saying Robin Williams is for surely in hell. We're saying we don't know. And we only can go by the judgment of his fruits of his life. And from what we can see, those fruits weren't good. So hopefully and prayerfully, We pray that he did repent and receive Christ as a Savior before his death. And, you know, one aspect of this was, you know, his depression. He died of basically depression. He hung himself. And it, you know, it's, that's a serious topic that needs to be discussed. And we are going to be talking about Christians and depression and how Christians should be handling that, most probably in our next episode or the episode after that. Because it is a very important topic. Because a lot of people deal with depression. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. It matters in the sense of how you handle it. Are you going to handle it from a worldly view or from a Christian worldview? That does matter. But what I'm getting at is all people suffer from depression at different stages of their life. Me included. You know, I went through a good year to 2 years where I was very, 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 very depressed. I mean, I've had doubts of, you know, bouts of depression throughout my life, certain events. And I'm not going to get into a lot of that initial, but it is a topic we're going to deal with. And with that said, that topic needs to be addressed openly in Christianity and not looked and thrown in the closet, and, well, we don't talk about that. You know, and because there is an aspect of, you get that on one spectrum of from Christians, and then you get the other spectrum saying, well, if you're really born again, if you're truly saved, then, well, you wouldn't be depressed and mental illness wouldn't, you know, have a grasp on you. Now, I've seen that statement on this forum too, and I addressed that. And I addressed that very simply by stating scripture. If that was the case, and what these people were saying is the case, why would it be written in Exodus 4:11 that God even made the deaf and the mute and the blind? If God made the deaf and the mute or the blind, depending on what translation you read, then why would God do that if being born again and being saved, then none of those things would have a grasp on you? And basically what these people were trying to teach was, well, once you're saved, you shouldn't be sick and, you know, anymore or have mental illness. Well, that's not true. And it needed to be addressed, and we addressed that. But that's something we're going to talk about again on another show. There'll be, we'll do a special show on dealing Christian worldview and dealing with depression, and how we as Christians should handle depression. So look forward to that coming up in the next couple shows, either this next show coming up or the show afterwards. Now, before we go on to our next topic, and there's quite a few topics here we're going to discuss, and I'm going to concentrate mainly on, we're going to switch gears and move into this study that came out by the health survey by the CDC on homosexuality and exactly how much or how big of the population is truly reported as holding to a homosexual lifestyle. You'll be surprised. But before we get in that, I just want to mention and would ask your support in helping this ministry. If you go to our Facebook page or our Empowered by Christ homepage at empoweredbychrist.org, you'll see a little banner down there, and it's basically a fundraising banner. What we are trying to do, I'm just going to take a minute here and explain this, is we're trying to raise funds so that we can expand. Basically, as you know, we don't charge anything for anything we do. We fund everything we do. We fund the website. We fund the podcasting. We fund all the, you know, the articles, everything, the blogging, everything we do, we fund. Well, we, out of our own pocket, paying for that, we're as far as we can go, basically. And we would like to expand and reach out and take the message of, you know, the gospel and the Great Commission. And, you know, our goal is to, you know, teach and preach about the Lord Jesus Christ boldly and without restriction, and we'd like to do that, as stated in Acts 28:31. However, we need to do a fundraising campaign. Some of the ways we want to raise money, and what we want to raise money for, is the ability to do a mobile Android Apple app that would allow our website and radio show to be accessed, and to get back onto Blog Talk Radio, which costs about $400 a year. And also, the app costs about $600, roughly, to do what we need to be done. It's about, when everything's said and done, it'll be about $1,000. And then we also, of course, you know, have to pay for the equipment we're using here, our broadcasting equipment, what you're hearing me talk on, you know, our keep the lights running, you know, the basic needs and stuff. And we also want to be able to take that remaining money and use it for startup, which will get us started up and running for 3 years on a XM radio satellite, internet radio kind of deal, where we can do a internet radio station that can also then have the potential to be put on XM radio. Now, you might be saying, oh, well, you know, don't you guys get paid or anything for that? No. Everything, like I said, we do, we don't get a paycheck. So, all this, like, our goal is $3,000, which, hey, you know, seems like a lot, but if you look at what other ministries' goals are, it's really small. And our goal is set that low because that's just what we need to operate, basically to keep, you know, doing what we're doing and to expand and accomplish those goals. Because none of us take a paycheck for what we're doing. We're not going to take a paycheck for what we're doing. Very, you know, stated. We're just not going to. So, that's not our goal. Our goal here in Empowered by Christ Ministries, as we talked to the board when we first started this, we have a board of directors, and we also, you know, there's, you know, Charlie Brennan, you know, he's going to be actually airing his show soon, so you'll be hearing him on here too. And Joe Carlone, our basically silent partner who never likes to get on radio, but does do some writing for us. And, you know, we all decided when we started this that none of us ever would take a paycheck for doing the Empowered by Christ ministry. It just wouldn't. We don't believe that's where God called us to do. And to make a living that way. We believe in a tent maker's ministry. So I just want to take a minute to just say, hey, can you jump over there? You're going to see, you know, our goals on there, what we want to, you know, if you hit to donate for a certain item, it's going to say, hey, this is, you know, it's going to have the grand total of this is what it's going to cost, and then you can donate whatever you want, $1, $2, $5, $10. If we get enough people donating, you know, $10 here, $10 there, we'll meet our goal, no problem. And, you know, just prayerfully consider doing that. So, just wanted to touch base on that and just, you know, say it's appreciated that you could just take a look at it, spread the word on that, and just please, you know, prayerfully consider that. Now, moving on. Recently, the CDC released a interesting kind of a myth-buster of a report, if you want to say. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the the Science Discovery Channel, the Mythbusters. You know how they go around and bust myths, you know, like, hey, you know, this car can float, or hey, if you're trapped in an elevator, you can crawl up the roof, or, you know, just whatever, you know. If, you know, you're talking on your cell phone, you're filling your gas tank, your car's going to explode. Those kind of myths. Well, what we have from the CDC is a Mythbuster report. We'll call it that. It's basically stating that besides what is believed as the common 10% myth, that 10% of the population is either gay, bisexual, transgender, that it's much, much lower. Now, if you were to today poll, and I'm going to reveal what that amount is here in a moment, but if You were able to go, let's say, just go around and start polling people and just say, hey, how much of the population do you think is either, you know, transgender, homosexual, or bisexual? What would the responses be? You know, I think you would be shocked to if you just walked around and asked people what that percentage would be. I bet you some people would say, oh, 20%. I bet it would range from 25 to 50%. Why is that? Well, it's very simple. It's because of the media. The media promulgates and portrays this message that homosexuality is bigger than what it is. And this study by the CDC, and it's a health survey, it gives the government its first large-scale data on gay bisexual population. That's the title of this. Now, what do you think it is? Do you think it gets 10%, 5%, what? Well, you're going to be surprised. It's less than 3% of the U.S. population identifies themselves as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC, reported Tuesday, and this was back on July 15th, in the first large-scale government survey measuring America's sexual orientation. Now, this is important because this changes if you think about things. It has a very profound myth-busting ability that the, as I call, Gestapo likes to promulgate upon American society that they're bigger than what they are. Now, as I continue to read here, the National Health Interview Survey, which is the government premier tool for annually assessing the America's health and behaviors, found that 1.6% of adults self-identify as gay or lesbian, and only 0.7% consider themselves bisexual. So, this leaves the overwhelming majority of adults, 96.6%, label themselves as straight or heterosexual. Think about that, 96.6%. Yet, we're going to allow, because of the Gestapo and their myth of the population being at anywhere from 10% to 50% gay, that's been promoted through the media because of the fear of the Gestapo and you know, their ability to come and force people to accept their behavior, and it's not they were born that way. It's not like they were born like a colored person is born colored, or, you know, a Chinese person is born Chinese, or, you know, you know, a race thing where you can't change that. It's a behavior. These people, you know, this Gestapo wants to promote this idea of 10% or higher of the population is gay, and, well, you have to listen to us. Well, guess what? It's not 10%. It's not even close. It's not even close to the marginal 5% that conservatives and conservative Christians were saying for years. It's less than that. It's 1.6% and only 0.7% are bisexual. So, under, if you want to get technical, under 3%. It's That's 2.3% of the population. 2.3 of our population wants to control companies and the government and have the government tell 96.6% of the population what to do. And what planet is that right? I don't know, you know, but it's something we can expect. I mean, you know, if you read our Bibles, if you read about end times, no matter what your, you know, your eschatological view is, these things are going to happen. And we read about it, you know, but it's just, it's something worth talking about here because it needs to be brought up because in our next article, you know, we find another corporation jumping on the bandwagon of supporting homosexuality. And that is Target is going to, and this was from the WND site. And this goes back from published on Thursday, let's see, 6 days ago, roughly. And, excuse me, I grabbed a drink of water there, pardon me. All right. Now, like I said, Target tells its shoppers it's going gay. Well, okay, so here we have a major corporation, Target's pretty big in the U.S. retail industry, telling its shoppers it's going gay. So Target wants to snub its nose at 96.6% of the shoppers it has, or population, and only satisfy 2.3%, 2.4, whatever it is, you know, percent of the under 3% of its population. Why? Because I believe it's, first of all, they haven't seen this report, maybe. Second of all, maybe they have and they don't believe it or want to believe it. Or third option could be that because of the Gaystapo. When I say the Gaystapo, it's a phrase I use because I don't know, you know, if you ever watch, if you do your history, ever watch the old, you know, the History Channel and Hitler and World War II, the Gestapo and how they were the attack soldiers and forced Hitler's laws and rules and Nazism. Well, the Gestapo back then, as much as is the way these militant homosexuals and, you know, bisexuals and all these with their rules and wanting to enforce and use propaganda and just as the Nazis did and the Gestapo did to promulgate Nazism, the homosexuals do this and use this much to their advantage in a sense of tactically doing the same thing, making them look stronger and bigger than what they are. Because if you look, the Gestapo is a small portion of German society, but it controlled 96% of the population, just as the Gestapo is controlling today, or trying to control big business such as Target, you know, Starbucks, or any of your other corporations, Apple, Pepsi, you name it, Coke. I don't know about Coke for sure, but you name your company. And you almost probably find, you know, the lobbyist of the Gestapo trying to affect their companies, all the way down to the ma and pa forcing the baker, the Christian baker, not to bake cakes only for Christians or, you know, for who they religiously believe is, you know, accepted and against homosexuality. Well, you got the Gestapo using, you know, trying to enforce under the myth of 10% or higher, all the way up to maybe 30 or 40% of the population is gay, so therefore you gotta do and accept us. Well, that isn't the truth. As we find out by the CDC study here, that it was only under 3% of the population. So 96.6% of the population is supposed to be controlled by 3% of the population? No, it's time Christians start arming yourself with facts and using facts to go through these myths and bust these myths. And this is part and tied into what I was saying earlier about, you know, we have discussions on our Facebook accounts, and I'm sure you do if you're on Facebook or you're on social media. Just pick any social media venue. Let's just not say Facebook. Let's say Google, Twitter. You have a discussion on there. Well, you get those, oh, you're bickering. Well, I'm sorry, us having this discussion and using proof here to say this, would this be bickering? Or would this be arming ourselves with facts and discussion and having the ability to defend and say, hey, no, that isn't right. It isn't 10%. It's only 3%. Why do you have the right to control our population or what I'm doing? You don't. Now, I'm not advocating we should be unfair or unjust to those, you know, who are trapped in the sin of homosexuality, because I'm not. They have equal rights. You know, they have as much right to sit on a bus as you do, or work at a job as you do, or anything else like that. They just don't have the right to define what marriage is, and to the right to take their 3% and try to enforce and control 96% of the rest of the populace. Now, and this is why I was saying that it's so important that Christians, we're not bickering, we're having a discussion. It's good to have discussions. It's good to be on social media. It's good to get out there and be armed with the facts and confront things. Because, yeah, okay, maybe the outside world is going to look at you and go, oh, those Christians are bickering and hypocrite, you know, fighting back and forth. Guess what? They're going to say anything about Christians. Newsflash for those that say that. Because guess what? They're unregenerate. So they're going to pick anything you say apart and anything and twist it, turn it, and put it against you. So you might as well be armed with the facts. You might as well stand and make a defense for the faith called apologetics. You might as well defend your viewpoint, and you might as well go and, you know, stand up for Christianity. Because no matter what you say, they're going to consider either you saying something as bickering or your silence as, oh, you're just that stupid Christian that doesn't know anything. So either way, it's a lose situation. Me personally, I would rather have the facts and be in the debate and the battle than sit on the sidelines. That's just me, and I think a lot more Christians, if we would do that, if we would be armed with the facts, if we would get up and off our keisters and actually get out there and do as we're commanded and be part of the government and, you know, live our beliefs and state our beliefs to others and live those beliefs and make those beliefs known and enforce them to others. And yes, that's correct. We have a right to enforce our beliefs upon others as Christians. Isn't that shocking? I just said that. Wow. Because you know what? The media and the Gestapo would make you think you're a zealot. Because guess what? You're living your faith. Interesting. Isn't it interesting how big media and media itself and, you know, the world, you know, takes well-meaning Christians and turns that and twists that into, oh, well, I guess we shouldn't say anything. I guess if we say anything, well, you know, the world's going to look at us and think we're bickering among us. Well, guess what? You know, the world's going to turn everything and anything you say anyways against you, so you might as well be speaking the truth. And doing it with love, and of course, but speaking the truth, and the truth in the Word of God. So when we do that, don't worry about what the world's going to think. Speak the truth and let God take care of the rest. It's just very simple. Now, as I said, you know, Target's going to be going, telling a shopper it's going gay. So, you know, I'm not much into the Christianity boycotting issue. You know, oh, we should boycott this store because it's not doing. You should boycott Starbucks because it's doing this, or you should boycott Pepsi. Well, you know, pretty soon you're going to boycott yourself into living on a farm, growing your own food, never going outside or pumping gas or anything. Or, you know, you're going to have to live in a cave somewhere because you boycotted yourself into a cave. And the reason I say that is because the world, Target, you know, stores like that are owned corporately, you know, they're not Christian faith-based companies. What do we expect from them? Can we expect anything more? Can we expect them to do only what the world knows how to do, and that's capitulate to the latest trends and the latest going-ons in the world? Latest fad? No, we can't expect anything more than that. Now, I'm not saying we should bend over as Christians and just say, roll over and go, oh, okay, well, we're not going to say anything, take anything or do it. No. We can speak the truth. We can quietly make noise about it, respectfully. And, you know, if you feel as a Christian, you know, that you don't want to vote with your dollars and vote someplace else and make that known, well, that's good. But don't jump on the boycott wagon of, oh, I'm going to boycott this place, boycott that place, because guess what? Pretty soon, like I said, you're going to boycott yourself in a cage now, or into a cave nowadays. You know, there's some places, you know, you can do without. There's some places, you know, you don't have to have a Starbucks. Yeah, you don't have to shop at Target. You can go shop at someplace else, you know, pick any other store, I don't know. You know, but you as a Christian have to make that decision. I'm just not one much for the boycotting of stores like this, because I have heard that, you know, jump the bandwagon on that kind of thing. Well, now, basically, that we got the target thing out of the way, and this report by the CDC, I just want to take the last few minutes here and discuss, take a look at, you know, this whole thing going on here, in the Middle East, the caliphate or the ISIS deal, and, you know, and the whole Christians being overran, and, you know, you see how they're stuck on the side of the mountains and stuff, and what we got going here, you know, this, again, should not surprise us. We see this in the Bible, how times are going to get worse and worse and worse. But it, to me, it, if you read your Bible and you kind of just look at it, it seems like here in America, the way we're handling this right now, Obama's handling this, and I'm going to try to leave my political views on Obama out because we don't have another hour for me to rant on him. But the way we are handling this, it seems like Rome is burning and the emperor is out playing his fiddle. Or in this case, America is burning and the commander-in-chief, or commander-not-so-in-charge, is out on the golf course all the time instead of filling his obligations in the Oval Office and to his constituents, which is us, the American people. So I just want to say, you know, it's pretty scary with this Islamic State, the ISIS state, being taken over in the Middle East. And if you think it just affects, okay, it's a Middle East thing, no, it's not. If you read your news, you heard the news, they're going to be coming for us. I mean, us here in Christians in the U.S., America, are going to be coming for us. Do you think that's just a preview of what's going on? Those people being beheaded and heads being stuck on stakes and, you know, these Christians being killed and all that, these kids being... That's a preview. If we don't do something about it now, while it's over there, find a way to defeat them there, it's going to be here on our soil. And we're going to be fighting it here. So I urge Christians listening to this, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, to pray and pray that we can contain this and stop this before it spreads to the rest of the world. I mean, this is a serious, serious matter, this ISIS state. I think it's more serious than most Christians are willing to believe, to want to believe. I mean, we're driving around here in our, you know, nice cars, driving, you know, sitting in our air-conditioned houses, you know, watching our movies, drinking our Starbucks and whatnot. That can't happen here. Well, you know, never say never. You know, did the Germans back in 1933 think 1939 to 1944 could happen? No. And look where that went. And in many regards, a lot of us here in, you know, America say, that can't happen. That's over there in the Middle East. That's not... Well, it's only a plane... you know, 9/11 proved it's only a plane ride away. So I would urge my Christian brothers and sisters to prayerfully take the time and pray that our country repents and that we are not faced with what possibly very well could be sitting on our soil very soon. So now, also, like I said, I wanted to take a second and talk about maybe get your opinions, and I'd like you guys to call in the show, 414-369-2242, leave a message for our next show, and dealing with this Ebola outbreak, and the fact that they sent, you know, some patients back here, and health workers back to the U.S. To look at, you know, being cured. And, you know, the spread of it out in the Africa continent and how it's basically out of control. And this is the worst outbreak that has ever been in existence as far as the CDC saying and the World Health Organization is stating. And the mere fact that, you know, it's basically, if you really want to get down to it, with continental travel, it's only a plane ride away before it's here in the U.S. I mean, really. I don't know, you know, on a side note, if anybody's here, you know, watch the that new show on TNT. I believe it's called The Last Ship. It's kind of funny, coincidentally, how that is being aired during this Ebola outbreak in Africa and how it's spreading over there. And the premise of that show is that there is a kind of Ebola-type virus that spreads throughout the world, and it's mutated and spreads, and that basically the survivors are on this last military ship because they were out at sea, and it's a pretty good show. Now they're working on a cure for, you know, this disease, but kind of coincidentally, you know, just happening with this Ebola breakout in Africa and this, you know, show. So, you know, I'd like to hear from, you know, our listeners. And again, you know, 414-369-2242. Call, leave a message. We'll play it on the next show. About, you know, what do you think about this Ebola outbreak in Africa? Possibilities of it coming over here in America. And, you know, as Christians, how do we handle that? You know, how should we handle that? How should we handle an event like that? So, I just want to take the time to say thank you for listening. And again, I think our next show will be focusing on depression. And as Christians, how should we handle depression? You know, and some of the misnomers or false beliefs around depression as Christians, where, you know, well, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't be depressed or you wouldn't have mental illness. We're going to look at that and discuss that. So I thank you for listening, taking the time. And again, you know, we kind of just had a news roundup here discussing things. We need to do that. Clear the filing cabinet, if you want to say. Clear the desk, because I got articles all over the place. And once in a while, it's good to just take the time and look at things that are affecting the Christian worldview. And like I said earlier in our show, a lot of times we stick on one topic and focus on one topic. It's good to take and look at events that are affecting us as Christians in the news and discussing them. And we're going to try to do that, maybe take a show, every other show, and do that kind of thing. Take topics and change the format up a little. Do a show on teaching, and then do a Christian worldview and news update kind of deal on the next show. So we're going to try to work that out. And I also wanted to bring up real quickly, look for on our Empowered by Christ EBC Facebook page, Mr. Brennan, Charlie Brennan, will be starting his show shortly. He sent me the intro for his show. And he's working on lining up some guests, and then he's going to be running a show called Brennan Unleashed, and he's going to be doing the format of more interviews with people and discussions in that manner. So look forward, he's going to have a very interesting lineup coming up here. So again, that's Brennan Unleashed with Charlie Brennan. He's going to be coming up and starting that shortly. He keeps telling me he's going to get it going, and he actually sent me the intro and the extra to it, so it looks good, sounds good, and now I just got to push him, you know. I was, like, giving him a lot of stuff. You know, he's a pretty busy young man there between college and everything, so I don't push him too hard to get that show out, because, like I've often said, it's more important that he takes care of his family obligations and his schooling and before he takes care of the obligations to this ministry. So, like I said, thank you for listening. God bless, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
You have been listening to EBC Radio. You can contact us at ebcradio4u@gmail.com. Make sure to follow us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC and on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. Also, make sure to check out our website at empoweredbychrist.org. And thank you for listening.